Amen. Well, good morning, church. You're a good-looking bunch today. You gonna bring me a table, brother? Thank you. It is an honor for me to be here today and to preach. I love coming here. You're a fun group to preach to. I love your building. I love your pastor. Don't you love your pastor? Yeah. I really don't know what I'm going to preach today. If nothing else, we have chips and salsa. How many of you like chips and salsa? And by the way, I do get a witness. By the way, I would be completely fine with fish and rolls and desserts. And if you have it in you, maybe a German chocolate cake, that'll be good. I like lemon cake, that's good too, and whatever you have that's got sugar, I am way into. And thank you for inviting me to come today to preach and share the word. I've been praying for you. I am for you. I have this sneaking suspicion that the Holy Spirit's already been working in your lives. When I was here a few weeks back and preached on the voice of the Holy Spirit, I've just been praying that we'll be able to hear distinctly the voice of the Lord as He speaks into us. Are you ready for that this morning? I was at a church not too many months ago, and as I sat in their sanctuary that day and worshiped with them, I had a heavy heart, and the heaviness was because this was a discouraged pastor. This was a discouraged congregation. Like a lot of churches, they're experiencing somewhat of a decline after COVID, and you've been to places where you sense that there's this downplay and people don't know what's going to happen next, and I just began to pray, Lord, you've got to give me something to say to these good people. These are good people who love Jesus, who were going through a difficult season, and I prayed, Lord, would you just give me something to say? I don't want to stand up there and just give them Kellerman. We all know that if all we get this morning and tonight is Kellerman, chips and salsa would be way better. Lord, I was praying about that church. I said, God, you've got to let me hear from you so that I can share with them what you have to say. And then that next Monday, I got up there and I preached. I did the best I could, and I think the Lord helped me. And then Monday came, and I was in my early morning time of devotions, and I was reading through this portion in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And I was stopped in my tracks over verse 20 in that chapter where Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and he says, we are ambassadors of the Anointed One who carry the message of Christ to the world, as though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. And when I read that verse, it struck me that those were literally the words in the prayer I was lifting up to the Father the day before on Sunday. God, help me when I open up my mouth that what comes out is not Kellerman, but is your voice tenderly speaking through me. And in that moment, God began to talk to me tenderly about what He wanted me to hear. And this was a really probably more than a few months ago. This was nearly a few months into my tenure as your district superintendent. And I heard Jesus say to me in my spirit, and it's what I've been telling churches as I go across the district. I hear the tender words of Jesus coming out through my lips, asking His people to contend for His presence. And I'm a broken record on this. If you spend any time with me, if you've ever heard me preach, if you've heard my last three or however many district reports I've given, maybe three, I lose track. The words that come out of my mouth is that our highest priority is to seek the presence of God, because it is from His presence that everything good flows. If you believe that, say amen. We need more education. We need more systems. We need more understanding. We've got to have better ways of doing Jesus and presenting the gospel. But church, let me just tell you, without the presence of Jesus in our homes, our families, our marriages, with our kids, at our job and in our churches and in our community, without Him, we're completely lost. So I've been contending for that and believing for that and wanting you to understand. And when I say you, I don't mean just y'all here at Middletown. I'm talking about all those who call Jesus Lord, to understand that the thing we need most in our journey, in our life, is to be able to distinctly hear the voice of the Lord. Right now in this room, I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. I'm a son of a missionary, but I'm not a son of a prophet. I can't tell what you're going through, but if I know Jesus, He's talking to you. If I know the work of the Holy Spirit and His tenderness and His love for His people, right now this morning, He's trying to break through into your lives and He's trying to work. And I'm talking to people who love Jesus, right? I'm talking about a church who loves the Lord. You want more than anything to hear from the Lord. He's trying to break through, but your life is so filled with circumstances. And as I was praying and thinking about what I would say to you, one of the things I started praying yesterday was, God, you got to help my voice to hold up. So y'all help me pray that. Maybe tonight with fish and rolls and dessert, I'll just go to the finish line. The voice of Jesus tenderly pleading. Got to thinking about the voice of the Spirit as I was thinking of my voice and surviving today and tonight and knowing that He would help me. I was thinking about the revival. I was thinking about you, praying about you. And I think sometimes in revivals, we tend to gauge revivals by the number of people who show up, right? By the quality of our worship, by the preaching, by the money to help everything get pulled off, by having enough food tonight to feed the masses, the fish and the loaves. I just made that up. That's so good. But revival is not about what we get, what we take away. You know what revival is about? Revival is about what Jesus gets. And right now, I think what Jesus desires more than anything is for His people to distinctly hear His voice as He speaks to them about His love for you and His call for you and His challenge for you. If we're not careful, we can let the voices of politics and religion and entertainment to drown out what Jesus is trying to tell us this morning in this Sunday called revival. The voice of Jesus. The voice of Jesus. What's He trying to speak into your heart? What's been rumbling around in your spirit lately? And you're thinking, well, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my spirit. That can't be right. And I just want us to pay attention to what Jesus might be saying to us through the Spirit in this Sunday morning service and then this evening as well. The voice of the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 and 12, I'm not going to read all of that, but I do want to read some of it to you. So if you just go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, and I invite you to stand in reverence to the Word of God this morning, would you do that? Hebrews chapter 3. I'm going to take us back into the Old Testament history a little bit this morning. I won't take us very far back because we got to get to lunch. But I'm going to take as much time as the Holy Spirit allows us to take this morning because I think he's got something to say to us. But let's get started here. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, that's y'all. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are his house if we indeed hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. So before I read on and then have you be seated, let me just set the stage for you. The writer of Hebrews is trying to explain to the Hebrew believers what they have in Christ and how Moses was obedient and Jesus was obedient, and they lived out their faith, and he's calling us to be obedient as well, to listen carefully so like Moses and like God and like Jesus, we can live in that place of obedience. And so verse 7, so as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness. We're going to get to that in a minute. Where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. And I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my way. So I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. You remember the throngs of people who disobeyed God in the wilderness journeys, and they were never able to see the land of Canaan because of their disobedience. The Spirit of the Lord is saying to his church today, I want to speak to you. I've got something I want to say to you. Please listen, clear your ears so you hear what I have to say so that you can arrive safely in our own Canaan land called heaven. Father, I pray that you would help us in these moments to hear your voice. May we just simply walk in obedience today. Help me, God, to communicate with tenderness the words that you want to say to these good people. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you're seated, turn to your neighbor and say, I wish I looked as good as you. Go ahead. Some of you didn't do that. And then some of you are putting more effort into it than I expected. The writer of Hebrews is explaining to the church there that God has a plan, and begin to speak on Moses and what was going on. You can go, we're going to talk about that just for a little bit, but if you will go into your Old Testament and go to Exodus chapter, from the beginning of Exodus, but I will be in chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17. I'm not going to preach through all four chapters. Can I get a witness? So Hebrews is talking about a section of time in the Israelites' journey where they had come out of Egypt. Remember that story? Pharaoh finally let the people go, and they were on their journey, and about chapter 14, 15 and 16, they're about 2.5 months into their journey after seeing the amazing miracles of the plagues. They had stood on the shore of the Red Sea, and they had witnessed the amazing miracle of how God unfolded the Red Sea and allowed the Israelites to walk through on dry land. Now, I don't know about you, but I would think in my own spirit, I want to think this way about myself. I want to think that I would go longer than 2.5 months before I gave up on the God who did that for me. And I'm really hard on those people, but I have to tell you, if I was in their spot, I might have been fussing too. Now, one of the things that the Hebrew writer said about these folks is that when the Spirit spoke, when the Lord spoke, they hardened their heart. They got to think about that. Lord, you got to help Kellerman not have a hard heart, because I don't want to forget that the God who did that yesterday is the God who can do that today and the God who will do that tomorrow. Someone just needs to hear me say this morning in my broken voice, you've come today and you're losing faith. And I just want to remind you that the God who did it back then is the God who can do it right now. Amen? And if you have uncertainty about tomorrow, let me just say, we have a sovereign God and he can do it again. Amen? But the Israelites hardened their heart. See, my voice sounds better when I don't yell, so I won't yell. I can't help it, though. So I wanted to share with you, for you type A's, I wanted to share with you some points. Three, as a matter of fact. So if you're wanting to write something down, here we go. These are some thoughts about discerning the voice of the Lord. This is why it's so important to be intimate with Jesus. This whole idea of hearing the voice of the Lord comes to seeking his presence as our highest priority. Because when we're seeking his presence, it means we're being still long enough and waiting on him long enough where we are intimate with him and we can hear what he's got to say to us. Why is it so important to hear the voice of the Spirit? Number one, his voice will enable you to discern the lies about yesterday. His voice will enable you to discern the lies about yesterday. Oh, this is a good one. I know how it works. I've gone too far. I've done too much. I've grieved God too many times. I'm not capable. I'm not able. I failed him too much. There's no way that God loves me. I just want you to know that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, his blood covers the past. And what are the crimes that were the crimes against Christ that were transacted prior to you accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior are done away with, put, as the scripture says, in the bottomless sea, never to be brought up again. And anytime the devil tempts you to look backwards, I want you to know it's a lie, because your sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus. That's good preaching right there. But the devil works so hard to turn what's been forgiven into a reality. Let me just point it out. This is not a sin thing, but this explains. If you look at Exodus chapter 14, I'm not going to read it. You just do that this afternoon between the end of the service and the fish and the loaves that's going to happen. You've got the miracle of the sea parting. Verse 16, you've got the song of Moses and Miriam declaring the glory of God. They sang all that together. Exodus 17, they're complaining because they don't have water, and God through Moses brings water from the rock. And then 2.5 months into their trip, the miracles of God dry up, and they start to complain. And this is what they say about the past. Chapter 17, verse 3. Listen to this. The Israelites said to Moses and Aaron, "If only we had died in Egypt. If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat, ate all the food we wanted." Now let me just stop there. Tell me who the Israelites were in Egypt. What were they? Slaves. Now, I wasn't there. I'm not Methuselah. But I can guarantee you, they were not sitting around pots of meat and had all the food that they wanted. But this is what they were remembering, and it was a complete lie that the enemy was planting in their spirit. They said, "But you brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." One of the reasons why I think it's so important that we pause in the presence of the Lord, it's because it gives him opportunity, if we listen carefully, to destroy the lies that the enemy puts into our spirit about what happened behind us that God's already taken care of. And listen, if God's not taken care of it, today's a great day, because God's arms are wide open with love. And anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. I talk to pastors a lot. You want to know one of the greatest lies that I hear from pastors in private conversations? This is about their kids who are not following Jesus. Jamie and I have a burden for our prodigals. And I hear parents say, "I blew it. My kid's way out in left field somewhere, and I'm a failure, and everything's lost." And the enemy just starts to turn the screws in their life and causes them to lose faith and to stop praying. And wouldn't the devil just love for us to do that, to just stop praying and give up and feel like complete failures? And I just, one of the things that I tell pastors about this, it might be true about their son or their daughter, but God's not done. The truth of the matter is that if God can turn a Saul into Paul, he can turn our kids around. If he can pull the prodigal out of the pig pen, he can pull our kids out of their stuff. Amen? I'm talking about the lies of the past. Listen, church, we've got to turn down the volume of the world, the lies of the enemy, and not let those voices drown the truth out that Jesus is trying to remind us. So I just say again, if his voice, it's so important because it'll enable you to discern the lies about yesterday and discover that the voice that's piping into your ear all the time, that's full of shame and guilt and condemnation, those are not the voices of the Lord. Because Jesus will speak with comfort and hope peace and grace. Someone needs me to hear. Someone needs to hear me say that this morning. Here's the second thing. His voice will enable you to embrace the provision of today. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. So here we go, Exodus 16 and 17. Quail for breakfast, bread for dinner. Now, that doesn't sound like much fun to you, but it was a banquet to these folks. Water from a rock. Reminds me of this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. How many of you believe that God's able to do that? All right, three of you. That's really great. No, I know you do. I get it. I took you off guard. Here's some other truth. Therefore, don't be anxious saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. When we're tuned into the voice of the Spirit, the voice of the Lord, we're reminded that my God will supply every need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. I just think in this day and age, the volume is turned up on so many things that if we're not listening closely to the Spirit and hearing what he's got to say to us on a personal level, the enemy will swoop in and steal the joy and begin to get us thinking that there's no real provision for us. Let me give you number three. The voice of the Lord is important because it will enable us to trust him for the future. I don't know. How many of you are a little concerned about the future? You don't have to raise your hands. There's a lot of uncertainty out there. In this day and age, the Lord is trying to speak into his church and remind us that the landscape might appear as if it's complete chaos, but we can trust in God who holds the future in his hands. Exodus 16, chapter 16, verse 35. You read this. The Israelites ate manna for 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. And they ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. You know, that really struck me this morning when I was reading it. When I worry about my retirement or I worry about my health or when I worry about what's going to happen in the next week or two or whatever the case might be. I heard it this morning, I don't hear an audible voice. I am envious of those who said they have heard the audible voice of the Lord. I don't discount it. This has never happened to me, but I heard him in my spirit when I took time this morning to welcome him into my presence and submit myself to his presence. I just heard the assurance, Kellerman, not only have I taken care of your past, not only am I taking care of today, but you can trust me with tomorrow. Amen? I don't think I would have heard it that clearly if I wasn't taking time and releasing stuff out of my life, the things that would get in the way, and make time for him to speak. Here's number four. This is an important one.
Number four, the voice of the Lord will enable you to avoid sin. You know, I really don't even know how to say this well, except to say that if we're not spending time in personal renewal and relationship with Jesus on a regular basis, which I think is the greatest revival that Jesus is wanting for his people, we will not really understand the pathway we go on that rides the line of righteousness and unrighteousness. The Hebrew writer here in verses 7 and 8 and then in verse 12, he's saying, so as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his heart, don't harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion that we just talked about in Exodus during that time of testing. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. You know why we need revival? Because revival puts us in a place where we're more sensitive to the voice of Jesus as he begins speaking to us about our life. And this morning, if you're here and your life is compromised by sin, or if you're, you know, toying on the edges, or you're getting ready to make a decision that's not godly, revival is a good time where we can press in and listen to what the Spirit has to say and allow him to give us the courage. But here's where the rubber meets the road. And it's what I hear the Holy Spirit telling me to tell you and our district in these days. The key to hearing the voice of God comes through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. That's why we believe in being not only saved, but sanctified entirely. And you heard me say this last time I was here, one of the beautiful things about the Church of the Nazarene and our doctrine is that we believe that through Christ and his shed blood, our sins can be forgiven in an instant, and we can be made pure and righteous before him and enter into a relationship with him. If you're glad for that, say amen. But like I always like to say, God just doesn't want our junk. He don't want just our sin. Thank God he'll take it. But church, this morning, God wants your life. He wants an abiding presence with you where he dwells within you, and for him to indwell all of you so that you are receptive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, we have to be willing to surrender something. We need to be willing to surrender the things that get in the way of his voice and work in our lives. We all know people. Maybe some of you would point them out in this room that just seem to have an extra dose of God, extra spirit-filled, extra close. And the first thing I want to say about that is that, as a reminder to all of us, that no one has a different capacity for more or less of Jesus. We're all people who have the same capacity. So if my capacity and your capacity to receive the power and indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, and if God's resources are never ending, the question is, how is it that we come to a place in our life where we're not hearing Jesus like we ought to, and we don't have the power in our lives that, like the Bible says, we can have? What's the difference? And the difference, you all, it's available space. How much space are you giving the Lord in your journey with him? I got news for you. if you're basing your walk with Jesus on 1 hour on Sunday morning, you are sorely missing out on one of the most joyous 24/7 experience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's available space. How's your available space this morning? I think the greatest obstacle to intimate, obedient life filled with the presence of the Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit, all that, typically boils down to what you're stubbornly hanging on to. Time, talent, treasure, job, all that stuff. I love Mexican food. I know, hang on, I just turned the corner. When we were pastoring in Indianapolis, every Wednesday night we would, I typically didn't eat on Wednesdays until after prayer meeting, and we would go to a regular haunt, Jamie and I and some friends of ours, pretty much every Wednesday. It was a Mexican restaurant. And I was like a starved, crazed human being at that time of night. So one of the reasons I like going to a Mexican restaurant is, as soon as you sit down, what do they come running with? Oh, you already knew the answer. No, we all know that, chips and salsa. And so we just dive in. They knew at this restaurant to bring us all our individual salsas and to keep the baskets of chips coming. And I just had a simple rule about the chips and salsa. Until my meal arrived, keep the chips and salsa coming. And so we'd sit there and talk and eat chips and salsa. Eat chips and salsa. Eat chips and salsa. Our basket's getting empty. Hey, new. And so they'd bring chips and salsa. So I just eat chips and salsa to my heart's content until my meal arrived. How many of you even know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You're like, if you'd hurry up, we can go do that now. I get it. I'm trying. But when they brought my meal, beautiful, like I like that fajita steak chicken and shrimp business. How many know what I'm talking about? Can we just talk about that for a little bit? No. But when they brought my meal, what was my problem? You've been there every stinking Wednesday. I'd enter the restaurant hungry as a crazed animal, and I would have them bring chips and salsa, and I would eat all of that. And the amount of chips and salsa was based on the simple rule, baby, I'm going to eat as many chips and salsa as I can until my meal arrives. And every single Wednesday, when my meal arrived, I'd be full. At the core of revival, personal revival, it's not so much what I have to say to you. It's what I think the Holy Spirit is trying to say to you this morning. He is calling you and me
into a deeper intimacy, to become more filled and just filled to the full with Him. And yet over time, we fill our lives with chips and salsa. We fill our lives with the things that really, I mean, it's really yummy, but it's not real nutritious. Because we're so filled with the chips and salsa of the world, God's fullness, the fullness of His Holy Spirit, can't abide within us, can't abide within our families, can't abide in the middle of marriage relationships and what we're trying to pull off with our kids and try to live in our personal lives. Church, let me just tell you this morning that right now, and our musicians can come, brother, this morning's revival, this service, it's not about me trying to get you to do anything. I really feel like Holy Spirit put on my heart this morning to let you know the desire of the Lord. And what He desires more than anything is to enjoy intimacy with you, His son and His daughter. And in His intimacy, as He speaks to you, He's going to shine some light. He's doing it right now. He's shining the light, His light in your heart, and He's revealing that it could be that you're not hearing like you ought to hear. You're not abiding like you can abide according to the Scripture. All of these things because you've lingered too long on the chips and salsa. And He's wanting us this morning, His people, His precious loved people, the people of God, He's wanting us to push aside the chips and salsa, to surrender all of those things, whatever they are. You already know what the things are that's in the way of Jesus speaking into you and His Spirit filling you, to just surrender those things and make room only for all of Him. I want us to pray together. In fact, I'd like you to stand if you would. And as we sing, as we think about what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, I just like as many as who are willing to come forward and say, "Oh God, show me where the chips and salsa are." Right? Show me what's in the way. Just present yourself before Him this morning and say, "God, I don't want my heart to be hardened. I want to hear what You've got to say." And so as we enter into this season of worship, I'd like you to join me at the altar. Because more than anything, I don't want anything in the way. Right? So let's just enter His presence and lead us and let's talk to the Lord.